good singing all the way around. Is that it? Now I'm going to have to talk a little quieter this morning. Nathan's yawning, he's sleepy, and I told him maybe you could get you a nap. And I said, maybe even in church. He said, well, if you're not too loud. This is why that I don't allow preachers in my house. What kind of preacher want to take and hide your silverware in a Bible? I notice there's a lot of Bibles left in the pews, under the pews. And I don't ever say anything about it because I thought, well, they're not going to need it again. And they probably, I used to have somebody that really ride people about that. Well, so you're not using your Bible, you left it here at church. And one day the person said, I have you to know, I have another Bible that I also am not reading at home. And so he was a good sport about it. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 51. Isaiah 51, it's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. I thank God for how good he's been, his goodness and mercy, all the good singing that we've been able to enjoy here this morning. Isaiah chapter number 51, if you're able to stand, let's look there, verse 1, and then verse number 2. Now hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, and ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock from whence ye are hewn, to the hole of the pit from which ye are digged. Look unto Abraham. I hope you remember that phrase right there. You'll need it later. Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Now look in verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We praise you and thank you, thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting. Beside thee, there's none else. Now, speak to our hearts, we pray thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while on things that are temporary and things that are eternal. You look around you here, and you'll see this building, and for such that it is, and we thank God for it, such as it is. But let me tell you, you're looking at something temporal. It'll either finally rot down, blow down, burn down, something's going to happen one of these days. Everybody you see sitting here in these pews, me included, we're on the way out one of these days, but there's going to be an empty spot, an empty place where we used to sit. Let me say to you that, if you will, we are temporary in this body that we're in. You can go out and look at the heavens tonight and see the stars if it isn't cloudy. And let me tell you, and look at the world and all that is therein. And the Bible said that everything you're looking at is going to finally die. And yet my salvation is going to be forever. I've got something that's going to last throughout all eternity. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out, the Bible said over in the book of Job, and you ain't got to turn there, but in chapter number 14, that man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. I can tell you the reason why you and I don't want to get too attached to whatever's going on here is because we're only using it for a temporary time, and we're looking and listening for the trump of God to sound. And I hope you have the Lord Jesus living in your heart. In the same book, over in a different chapter, but in chapter 55 of Isaiah, at about verse number 6, the Bible said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now, he's not always going to be at your disposal. I say yours because I've already sought him. And let me say to you that, if you will, I am saved, saved, saved by the grace of God. You talk about heaven bound and hell proof, you're looking at one of them. If you're a child of God, you're another one. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out you ought to call upon the Lord while he's near. When God comes knocking at your heart's door, then you ought to call upon him while he's yet near. over in this Bible here, he said in chapter 45, do not turn there, but of Isaiah in chapter 45, verse number 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there's none else. I got to tell you something, is that that makes a liar out of Mormons. They believe in many gods. There's no other God beside the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lord God of glory, God the Father, manifested through God the Son. In the Bible lesson that you're looking at here, you're going to find out is that when he said, be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. There's a lot of people got the idea that, well, maybe on the other side of the world is that there's a different God. No, no. No, no. If you're going to miss hell and make heaven, there's not another name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved than that of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that's why God says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I'm the Lord and there's none else. Number one, in the sermon that we're looking at here, in these three passages that we're looking at, when you look where God tells you to look, you're looking beyond temporary things to someone who is eternal in the heavens. And the Bible said that when you look, it's a divine person that you're looking at. You're talking about God incarnate in human flesh. When you look into the rock, buddy, that's solid ground, friend. Old Brother Roloff years ago was preaching a sermon, and he was preaching about David and Goliath. And, buddy, I want to tell you right now, I never will forget whenever he said, whenever old David reached his hand in his pocket after he had reached down in that brook and put those stones in his pocket, whenever he slung it around his head and turned it loose, he killed the giant with solid rock. He didn't have a spit wad. He had solid rock. If you're ever going to win the victory and miss hell and make heaven, you're going to have to come to the solid rock, Christ Jesus. In this lesson that you're looking at, he's a divine one, no doubt about it. You're on solid ground with him. The only foundation that's ever been laid, it is laid, and that is the foundation, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you remember Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Let me tell you, he's the only way, he's the only truth, he's the only life. And you're going to find that if you'll come to him as an empty-handed beggar professing the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you can be washed from your sins and born into the family of God. In this Bible lesson we're looking at, let me tell you something, is that you're either on solid the solid rock or you're on sinking sand. And see, all the religion can do for you is give you something that's easy. And they can rake it up, you can get it all square, you can get it pretty level, but every time there's a storm comes and a rain, there's going to be need to be done, see? I got to tell you, if you're in Christ Jesus, you're on the solid rock, the solid foundation, and it won't matter how many storms come, it won't matter how hard the wind's blowing, it won't matter how much the rains descend, is that you'll keep standing right where God puts you on the rock, and his name's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and let me say to you that if you will, please, because I'm not talking about that big Negro that's a wrestler that they call The Rock. He ain't The Rock. I don't mean that ugly because of who, I'm just telling you that's who he is. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that it's not only the look in a divine sense, but you'll find number two is in the lesson that it's a look of deliverance. Now, you know, I know people that that are just looking both ways for yesterday. They're as mixed up as a termite and a yo-yo. And as a result of that, you'll find they don't really know if they're in or out or up or down or so forth and on. And some of them are trying to grab hold and hold on and doing the best they can. But I got to tell you something. You need to turn loose of everything like that woman at the well. Whenever Jesus, buddy, told her all about herself, she left her water pot. And, buddy, what she had in her was a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved, and it's not anything that I did for him, and that he did for me, and that he brought me into his family by the blood that he shed at Calvary. You know, that's the reason why that in the Bible that he talks about, look unto me, Jesus says, and live. You want to have everlasting life? Look unto Jesus Christ. Yeah, somebody say, listen, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, we're not talking about your denomination. We're talking about the direction that you're headed, the destination that you've got. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. In this Bible lesson, you'll find that whenever you look unto Him, you're looking the look of deliverance. And not only that, but it's the look of redemption. He's the only one that ever paid the debt and paid the sin debt for you and I. And let me tell you, when you look toward Him, it's an everlasting look that you're casting. And let me tell you something, it's everlasting life that you'll receive. I was thinking about, you know, that in these things that are temporary and things that are everlasting, the only thing you're ever going to have that's ever going to be everlasting is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I got to tell you right now, I've said before, I'm going to say it again. And whenever my last breath is drawn, my heart beats for the last time, you're going to go out there to the cemetery, and somebody said, are you worried about what people may or may not do to you at the cemetery? No, sir, you can jump up and down on it if you want to. That's what I'll be doing. Now, I know we don't do that out of respect, but I'm just trying to tell you, hey, as far as the grave, friend, the devil can't chase you and I except toward the grave and for the grave. And once you get in the grave, that's it. Yeah, I guarantee you, there's no more he can do. What do you think Jesus said? Don't be afraid of him that's able to kill your body. And afterward, there's no more they can do. I say be afraid of him that's able, after he kills the body, is able to cast your soul into hell. I'm saying fear him. See, I want to say to you that you and I are looking into this lesson here because we see a lot of things that are out there. This morning, you know, whenever if you get up early enough, now if you don't get up till 9:30 or 10, the sun shining, you'll miss it, but if you get up early enough, and my wife gets up early just like we were farmers. And anyhow, but white frost everywhere. What a beautiful scene that is. And it's cold and all that business there, but I'm just saying to you, in the late in the evening time, you'll find there's some of the most beautiful sunsets. If you're coming to town sometime and you're coming over Swift Hill and looking out across there, what a beautiful scenery. And in the fall, whenever you're driving back to my house and you get across over there on Swift Hill and you look at all of those beautiful gold and brown and green and turning, I mean, what a picture, buddy, that's painted by the divine hand of God that you and I are looking at. Yet you're going to find out everything we're looking at with our eyes is going to perish and going to die in like manner. But notice that when he said that, he said, but my salvation. Do you want something that'll be lasting for all eternity? Maybe you're thinking, well, no. Well, then enjoy the sunsets. See that? Both of you are going to die. You might as well die looking at something that's beautiful. But if you want something, buddy, that goes beyond the time of year, like this is the fall of the year is my favorite time. Not just because bow season's coming on. I just like when everything's turning the colors, and I like that. And some people say, well, what about the spring? Yeah, I love blowing all that snot out because of that pollen. I hate this time of the year. Two times of the year that I don't like. One of them is that hot summer when we got triple digit and you can't breathe and so forth. I don't like that. And the other one's this time of the year you're looking at. I mean, my word, you can see a squirrel in a tree. That's the reason they come out and get down on the ground as quick as they can. You can see a squirrel for 2 miles. I mean, you couldn't shoot it for 2 miles, but I mean, you could probably see it. I said all that to say this, is that in this world that we're living in, God's trying to let us know that things are ever changing. If you want something that's stable, something that's solidified, something that'll never change, my salvation, he said, is everlasting. Number three, I want you to look at another thing. And you're saying, and I'm begging you, and this lesson's already been trying to point out, get your eyes on him that is everlasting. Because you don't want to look toward him right now, but one of these days you'll be looking and have the look of damnation upon you. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to say that I'm hell-proof and heaven-bound because of the grace and because of the mercy of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You can say that too, because God so loved the world. I want to say to you that there's going to be the look of damnation upon many people's faces. And what that is, that's a look that's too late. You think about that over there in the book of Luke in chapter number 16, and I want you to turn there, if you will, please, and I want you to keep your text, and I want you to look at it, hold your hand there where your text is, and then go to the book of Luke in chapter number 16. In the book of Luke, chapter 16. I want to ask you, and I want to tell you that every time that whenever you come to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin, you'll know what I'm talking about. And God does it every time a person calls upon Him with all of their heart. He moves upon them, saves their soul, snatches them as a brand from the burning. In the book, now don't lose Isaiah 51. I want you to hold that. And then I want you to look over here in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter number 16 and in verse number 23. Now there was a beggar by the name of Lazarus, and he had laid at this gate, this rich man's gate, begging crumbs. They no doubt that Lazarus, being a man of God, a child of God, that he was a man that had a witness about him. Well, the rich man didn't want nothing to do. He's not willing to look toward this man's direction and to the only hope that he'd have. He's got so much money and so many barns and things of that nature. He just has no interest whatsoever in it until after that he dies. And look in verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Who was it he saw afar off? Abraham. Hold your hand there. Don't lose it. Flip back over here to our text. When the Bible said, we're looking in verse 1, in verse number 1, to the rock. And then in verse 2, and look unto Abraham, your father, and Sarah that bare you. And he's talking about in the Israelite. Here's a man that knew something about Abraham and about Isaac and about Sarah, but he looked too late. You see? Now in hell, he's lifted up his eyes and he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, but it's too late to be able to look now. See, one of these days, if you're not careful, you're going to say no for your last time to God, and then like this man who cries out too late, he's going to be turned down, by the way. And let me say to you, because now is the accepted time, and today's the day of eternal salvation, and tomorrow may be too late. Now, in the book of Micah, and we'll not turn to there, but over in the book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 7, he says, quote, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Talk about an old boy that had confidence in the Lord. He looked the right direction. He looked and got deliverance. He looked and became hell-proof and heaven-bound. Now, I want to say there's a lot of people that are just like that sitting in our midst here this morning, saved by the grace of God. And, you know, somebody every now and again that maybe knows you and gets mad and they don't like you and so forth. And I'm glad it doesn't depend on what everybody else is thinking to determine the direction I'm going. I've got a few people that if looks could throw you in hell, I'd be there now. You know? You'll see them in Walmart and they're busy walking along, you know, and they snarl at you and snarl at you. It's that same look I seen whenever I was preaching to them. Be like that preacher, you know, he was standing up there and his church, they wanted to get rid of him. They was giving him a hard time. They'd done give him every hint they could, including trying to vote him out. Finally, he ended up and he says, I'm going to leave you finally. I'm going to go and I'm going to be preaching to a better class of people and a better congregation. I'm going to be a chaplain at the prison next week and I'm going to start then. You think you're going to have a better church, that's fine. I'm going to have a better congregation. At least they'll know something's wrong with them. I was sitting there and I can't help but get tickled, you know, every time I go to thinking about stuff. And that's what the problem is. I maybe think too much. Biggest liars you'll find are in the White House. You'll have to go to the Baptist church to find bigger liars than we got in the White House. I remember years ago, there was a little boy, he was lied all the time. His teacher was really worried about it. I mean, it's not that normal for a person to lie that much. He'd come in, we'll just call him Little Johnny. Not G Honey, but Little Johnny, just so you'll know we're no connection. And he came in there and he said, "Hey, teacher, you're not going to believe it. I caught a 50-pound catfish this morning before I got ready to come to school. Next time, you know, I shot a deer that had 28 points." And she was just worried about him. And the principal said, "You know what he needs to do? He needs to see the reality of how ridiculous lying really is." And so he brought him down there, Little Johnny, and said, "Little Johnny, I want to tell you a story right quickly." He said, "I've got a little poodle at the house. There's one of them little toy poodles. It's a little bitty thing." And said, "I don't even really know where it came from, but anyhow, I ended up with it. And do you know that thing got out the back door and killed a grizzly bear that weighed nearly 500 pounds, just like jumped up, grabbed him in the throat, choked him down, and all that?" And Little Johnny went to shaking his head. He said, "Do you believe that story?" He said, "Yes, sir, yes, sir. That's my poodle, and he killed two bears week before last." You know, that's the way a lot of people are about just when they come to the house of God. They've lived a lie and confessed a lie so long that they believe it. I'm going to tell you, you're a pretty good liar. When you get to where you can lie and believe it yourself, just like the president does. A lot of those lies he's telling, he's reading off the prompter, but a lot of those lies he just gushes out with in some old story. I'm talking about liar. The Bible said all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, burns with brimstone, so forth and on. I want to say that if you're looking the wrong direction, then you're never going to be delivered, but you're going to suffer destruction. Let me close by saying to you, today's the day I bid you to come and to say, "Lord, I don't want to look the wrong direction. I want to look unto salvation that's everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting, for thou art God." Are you saved this morning? Are you walking with Him this morning? Are you in fellowship with Him this morning? This would be a good time to be wise and to do as such. Let's have our ushers come, our song directors come in. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. We stand together and sing what number?
Page
165. 165, as we get ready to sing, "Our Father, bless the word to every heart. Lord, I pray that you'd save that one that's near as hell. Lord, we praise you and thank you that we can wave that blood-stained banner and proclaim the name that's above every name, that Jesus saved. Now move in our midst, we pray thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing.
Kneel at the cross.